We talked about how it is used as an adjective and to denote seniority, referring to Jewish elders and so forth, and just various ways that the word elder is used in the Bible. And our second point was on, we talked about the responsibility and the work of an elder. And then we got to our second point, which is the qualifications of an elder, and we stopped with that point. I appreciate all the good comments that you made last week, even during the service and after the service. You had a lot of questions and a lot of comments that were made, and I appreciate that very much. Any thoughts, comments, questions concern what we talked about on the office of an elder up to this point? It's not to insinuate I have all the answers. If I don't know, I'll just simply say I don't know. And we'll study till we get it. They're pretty basic as to what the Bible says about it. I know there can be questions from time to time as to what some of the phrases mean and what it might mean. And I suggested to you last week that when you run into that issue, what's a good way to kind of learn and see what the Bible means relative to a word or a phrase? Remember what I suggested last week?
Multiple translations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, look at different versions and see how maybe the King James Version differs, or the New King James Version, American Standard Bible, or American Standard Version, or some of the other New American Standard, whatever translation that you want to look at. Be careful with them, but do a comparison and see how they render those various words.
Sometimes a writer will use the same phrase in a little bit different meanings, too.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe take a phrase and look at how that phrase is used in various different ways. Any other thoughts? Comments? Is it possible for a man to obtain all these qualifications? Yeah, sure it is. Or the command would not be given. And so our third point, we'll just briefly go over this and get into our lesson for tonight, was our duty toward elders. When you look at the work that the elders are doing, and you wanted to sum that up, how might you sum up the work of the eldership? Okay. Okay. Yeah, overseers, Acts chapter 20, Paul talks about that. Flock feeders, right? Feed the flock of God which is among you, 1 Peter chapter 5. And Acts chapter 20 also talks about that. Example setters, right? Not by constraint, but willingly. Not others being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So that's the duties of elders. Example setters, flock feeders, and overseers. They watch for our soul. Now, when we notice the qualifications of them and we notice what their duties are, then we need to observe and know what our duty toward the elders are. Do we have any responsibility toward an eldership? Okay. Let's look at that. And there's other things that you might want to add to your book, and this is a workbook, and so work it, mark it up, and add some things to it that, as you see fit along the way. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Someone read that for us.
Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages."
Okay. So though it's not the topic of our discussion tonight, I'll ask you the question, is it a scriptural principle for the elders to be supported financially? Here's your passage that renders that out. Where's a passage that talks about the support of an evangelist? Remember how that's rendered? Where do you read that at?
Well,
You know, some don't think that you can support on an ongoing basis individuals from the treasury. 1 Corinthians 9, that ring a bell? He talks about that. Notice verse 9 specifically. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? In the context of this, he's talking about who? Those that proclaim the gospel, right? Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel. But the reason I point out 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to you is because of the phrase that's used in 1 Timothy chapter 5. When he says, for it is written, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, verse 18. So it's the same idea, the same principle. And so I want you to see that point. And so our duty then is, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. We ought to esteem elders highly in love for the work that they're doing, for the sake of the work that they're doing, and appreciate them. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Not to hear accusations except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 19. Sometimes when there's elders that oversee a local congregation, you're going to have people who gripe and murmur and complain and might say things relative to the elders, accusations or whatever the case may be. But what does that text teach us? Take a hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, at every word be established. And so be careful what individuals say. You got to watch gossip. That does a lot of damage to a congregation when the members don't bridle the tongue, right? Don't control that little member. Hebrews chapter 13. And then verse 17.
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, so this would be profitable for you.
Yeah. Who's he talking about in verse 17? Okay, those that have the rule over you.